Hello, friends. My name is Trish Dietz, and I have the blessing of sharing this portion of the Sermon on the Mount in our time together. You're going to find it as the fifth lesson in your study guide covering Matthew 6, 19 through Matthew 7, verse 12. I've entitled this podcast, One Pure and Holy Passion. I got it from a worship song years ago, and the lyrics to the chorus in that song are, "Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you, to grow as a disciple in your truth." Beautiful worship song. Well, in this sermon, these words of Jesus, he's telling his disciples how to know and follow hard after him, to grow as his disciples in the truth. The way he thinks, walked, served, and treated others, he wanted them and he wants us today to be forgiven and forgivers, how to be comforted, how to pray and have right priorities in life. I'd like to illustrate this passage of Scripture from the Sermon on the Mount with a mountain bike ride, specifically through three illustrative points: the path, the pitfalls, and the place of rest. When I used to mountain bike with my husband and friends, we'd ride through a wilderness preserve in Riverside called Sycamore Canyon. It's a varied combo of easy and challenging trails. We've got flat meadows, rolling hills, as well as pretty steep climbs. No matter what route we took, depending on our strength and the time we had, the destination was always the benches, by way of the prayer wall. It's this path that I bring illustration to our text. The path. From the starting point, the goal, the destination for the ride was, as I said, the benches on the other side of the park. The path includes a narrow, single-tracked section with a tall, brick, solid wall on one side, and the other side was a sloped hill littered with thorn bushes and rocks. We named this area the prayer wall because it's the scariest and most challenging part of the ride. In this portion of the ride, our little pack of cyclists would literally call out loud at the top of our voices, praise to the Lord for keeping us on this little track, and praying not only for safety, but prayer needs in general that each of us had that were just too big for us. We also shouted out praise and thanked Jesus for all he had done and all he was doing now, and all he would have yet to do. The goal was to stay safely on the path, especially the challenging areas like the prayer wall. Keep our eyes straight ahead with a steady cadence the entire way. We couldn't go too slow or too fast. Once we made it through that hardest part, the rest of the ride, it seemed like a joy ride. Well, then we had the pitfalls. On the edge of the prayer wall, soft dirt defines the edge of the path and the slope. I've already mentioned the thorn bushes and rocks here. But there are other pitfalls one can succumb to at any time, even on the gentle slopes. We had a constant need to look for rocks, snakes, coyotes, and holes along the trail. It would never be wise to ride alone for us or get separated on the ride. The old saying, safety in numbers, is definitely true with mountain biking. And then there was the place of rest. This was the goal, and this was the reward. On the other side of that prayer wall is a beautiful meadow leading to the benches at the peak of the hill. It is the rest after the climbs and the stress of the prayer wall and the other parts of the ride. It was the benches where we would stop and rest, where we'd have our snacks and take in the breathtaking views of Riverside. Well, now I'd like to make application to these three points from this section of the Sermon on the Mount on what it means to follow hard after Jesus in seeking after that one holy, pure, and passionate path for our journey. We're going to consider the path, the pitfalls, and the place of rest. First, the path. Our life is full of different terrain, spiritually and practically. At times, our life is like riding in the beautiful meadows. Also, we've got those steep climbs of life where we feel like we're in over our head, and areas where we feel hemmed in, stuck between a rock and a hard place, like that prayer wall. It's so critical that throughout our lives and walks with Jesus, we start out and remain on the path following our Lord. Jesus teaches that all humanity will at one point stand at a spiritual crossroad, and there's a choice of two paths before us. There's a wide path that leads to destruction, and the narrow path, though it be difficult, that's the one that leads to eternal life in heaven. In mountain bike, we have to keep our head on a swivel, checking for dangers, but we always face forward. So too should we be in life. I remember well as a brand new believer over 30 years ago, Pastor Greg teaching, "A walk with God is steady obedience in the same direction." There should be a marked difference, progress, as we walk with and serve Jesus, loving more and more what He loves and hating what He hates. Where, what, who we set our eyes on will affect our journey and the outcome. Matthew 6, 19 to 24, this is Jesus speaking. "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." We need to set our ambitions on things of God and serve Him alone. Where is your focus? What is your ambition? On things of God or worldly possessions and position? Our hearts will gravitate towards the focus of our gaze. It's important to be single-minded and singularly focused on this narrow path to heaven, shouting out praise and praying every step of the way, and encouraging and watching out for one another on their journey as well. Well, secondly, let's look at the pitfalls. The pitfall in mountain biking is taking our eyes off the trail, especially at critical times. The spiritual application, taking our eyes off Jesus and the path He has us on, straying from the pace and where He is leading us along our journey. Jesus addresses the pitfalls that all of us, at one time or another, could succumb to in our text. We see three potential pitfalls. First, the pitfall in our text is serving another master other than God, specifically money. Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." People store up a lot of things and think security is from the accumulation of all kinds of stuff. In our text, it's mammon, money. Money is a tool. It's neutral. We can use this financial tool for good or for bad. For some, money transitions from a tool to an obsession. John D. Rockefeller, at the turn of the century, had a wealth that today would be more than Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett combined. Reportedly, when he was asked, "How much does it take to make a man happy?" his reply was, "Just a little bit more." We can take other, quote, tools in life and misuse or wrongly prioritize or even obsess over shoes, for instance. In any climate, we likely agree shoes are important. We've got slippers for around home, running shoes, cowboy boots, steel toe work boots, on and on. But even an essential, like shoes, can get out of hand. There was a headline from the news last week, and I quote, "London-based influencer owns 500 pairs of sneakers and has spent over $100,000 and needs more storage." Wow. That seemed to go from a tool to an obsession, in my estimation. What about wood? Wood, it's a tool. We use it to construct houses and all sorts of structures. We use it for fuel, for warmth. But you know, it can also be carved into an idol. What about our job, career, position, title, our home, wardrobe, fitness level, on and on, you fill in the blank. Is there anything, ladies, this side of heaven that we pursue that holds greater value and affection than the things of God? Maybe it's not for us just one more pair of shoes or just a little bit more money. But what do I really love and invest in? What do I find security in? Is it things of the earth more than things of God? What do I serve, long for, and pursue more than anything? Jesus wants to continually check our hearts on all matters of life and godliness. Jesus does not want us to find security in anything this side of heaven. Another pitfall that can take us down is anxiety and worry. Anxiety is so prevalent among all age brackets. The source of the pressures are real, and they're unique, and they're varied as the individuals who are weighed down by them. What does Jesus say? Matthew 6, 25 and 26, "That is why I tell you, not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are?" Last spring, I was looking out my bedroom window, and I saw a small little bird just learning to fly. It was flittering about my window, and as I was appreciating the beauty and the delicacy of this tiny bird, I actually thought of this encouragement from Jesus, how he cares for his creation, and how much more he cares for us, made in his image. In the sweetness of this brief thought process, this tiny little bird slammed into the window and fell out of my sight. I quickly ran outside to make sure, A, that the bird was okay, and B, that our dog didn't get it. But by the time I ran there, it had clearly picked itself up and flew away again. Further application to this beautiful care of Jesus. You know, sometimes we get knocked down, but he picks us up and sets us back on our feet again. Again, Jesus comforts us the best in his own words for times when we're worried about anything. Matthew 6, 30 to 33. "Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father, he already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." What grace! What a beautiful promise, seeking the kingdom of God first, and he adds on everything that we have need of. As we continue on this path in our walks with Jesus, abiding with him and him in us, we can truly find peace in the knowledge of his care. He loves us. He provides perfectly. Don't succumb to the lies that things are hopeless. Shout out praise and his promises always. Lift up your voice in prayer in Jesus' name, and especially when you're overwhelmed. Well, the last pitfall we'll look at from the text is pride. I learned the hard way on the trails that when I'm overconfident in my abilities and I loosen up on the attention to what I'm doing and the pitfalls all around me, I'm likely to fall. Living out the physical truth that pride really does come before a fall. Here, pride is shown in judging others. Matthew 7:1-3, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured up to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Jesus is not suggesting that we not deal with and confront sin. There are passages in Scripture that direct us to correctly deal with sin. But here he's saying, you're quick to point out the faults, even sins in others, when you're guilty of worse. Pride, that's a prideful attitude. God hates pride. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Finally, this path is leading to our eternal place of rest. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus reminds us in the last verses of our text that we've studied this week, keep praying. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Treasures in heaven, like those benches, a real destination and not only a place of perfect rest, a place where there are treasures forevermore for all of eternity. We don't ever, ever have to turn around and go back. This place of eternal rest is for all of eternity. It fully fills and satisfies. It's undefiled. It's pure. Indescribable brilliance. It's unfading. There's never any rust, spoil, nothing stolen, no fluctuation in beauty or value. The best is that we will see Jesus face to face, and we will be reunited with redeemed loved ones who have gone before us. We can't replicate it with anything here. No matter how big our barns are here, don't store up the treasures here. Store the true treasures in heaven. And I leave you with this. Has anything this side of heaven occupied the place of true treasures in your heart? Have you allowed the very real concerns in your life to cause you to go downhill with worries and fear? Has pride led you to focus on the faults of others, all the while ignoring the plank, the sin in your own life? Stay on that narrow path, ladies, of loving and serving the Lord. Pursue godliness with contentment. This is where we experience great gain. Guard against the pitfalls, the enticements, the traps, the temptations meant to get us off course and ultimately take us down. And finally, let's keep moving forward together on this path with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, where in him we find true treasures and pleasures here and forevermore. God bless you, ladies.